You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get, except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. Come get some.
Beware, IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. I'm joined today by Justin Davis.
Scoop.
Brian Altano is here. Colin Moriarty.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, it is time once again to talk about Game of the Year Watch. We are halfway through.
Unbelievably, the year is halfway over.
Halfway through 2014. We're past E3. Few of the year's biggest games are out: Titanfall, Watch Dogs, Mario Kart 8. Time to check in. Let's see. I've got a list of the best reviewed games of the year so far.
Okay.
If you allow me.
I'll allow it.
Broken Age, 9.5.
Oh yeah.
Now, Walking Dead season 2 episodes are all getting like they're getting like good reviews, good scores. But I don't. We have to wait to see how that.
Is it chronological list?
No, I mean I'm not. I haven't listed them all out, but they're like getting in the nines. Also, in Wolf Among Us, several good reviewed episodes. So when those are all said and done, maybe. Mm-hmm. Child of Light got a 9.3. South Park got a 9, and Transistor, and Dark Souls 2, and Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, and Ultra Street Fighter 4, and Mario Kart 8, and Hearthstone, and Nidhogg.
Wow.
All got nines. Oh, and Shovel Knight. Sorry, that just went up today.
There's nothing to apologize to me about. It'll be all right.
Please accept my deed. Now, just barely not making the nine cut was Titanfall. 8.9. Yeah. And Watch Dogs was a big high-profile release, very highly anticipated. Got an 8.4. I think we've talked about this a lot. I really like Watch Dogs. Brian, you really like
Watch
Dogs.
Yeah, love it. Love it.
But I think the general sentiment is maybe slight disappointment with that game.
Yeah.
Didn't quite live up to expectations. What do we think? How's this list shaping up?
It's a weird year.
Why is that?
Because it doesn't feel like there's a ton of like those like AAA blockbuster, you know, like the big action shooting games across multi-platforms with DLC. Like there's stuff like Child of Light and Shovel Knight. And South Park, which is like the closest you can get to being a multi-platform AAA game, but it's a game about farting on people, you know? So it's a weird year. It's a year I love, because I think that like these are the types of games that speak to me a little bit more.
If we were to vote right now, do you think South Park would have a good chance of winning?
Yeah.
If we were voting today?
It would definitely be in there.
I would personally narrow it down to three, which would be Mario Kart, Shovel Knight, and South Park. None of which involve like guns,
which is weird.
Like, I think it's great. Yeah, it's great.
It's definitely been. You're right that smaller games have shown the first half of this year. They've really had an opportunity to shine. And the AAA stuff like Titanfall is a tremendous amount of fun. So is Watch Dogs. So are games that you didn't even mention like Infamous. But none of them were really, they didn't light the world on fire. They didn't leave too much of a mark. Like, I played them and enjoyed them, but they didn't stick with me in the way that even something like Broken Age did.
Yeah. Broken Age is half a game, right?
So far,
what
yeah.
we've reviewed so far. So.
Yeah.
But that is, you know, like right up there, like the you know, one of the best reviewed games.
That was the only one, when you were listing these off, that was the only one that I'd kind of, actually, I just had it stuck with me, but I was kind of like, oh yeah, that game was great. Mm-hmm. It just came so early in January that that was a fantastic point-and-click adventure.
Yeah. When is the second half supposed to arrive? Do we even know? Is it going to be this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
I say that definitively. I mean, I hope so. Yeah. If not, it definitely, that's bad news for...
I feel like what happened with the Walking Dead won't happen again. And yeah, even I was just even if this season is amazing and it's yeah. the best thing we've ever played, I think that sort of episodic thing, we fell in love with it the year they did it, and then they're doing it again. And I just sort of anecdotally, I feel like people are a little more scattered about that franchise now. Like we're less attached to.
Nobody's talking about it the same way.
Right. We used to we would finish episodes and we'd come in and we'd talk about it the way we talk about Breaking Bad or something like that. And yeah. and from what I'm reading, I'm not caught up yet. I'm only two episodes in. It's awesome. But it just doesn't feel like it has the same impact as it did the first time around with the first season.
I think they need to come out more often.
Yeah.
I think they're way too long in between episodes. And they're not on like a set schedule, right? Like,
that's the big
like
problem.
Like if it's a TV, like Breaking Bad, we know, you know, every Monday morning we're going to come in and talk about it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it's like, this is like, well, whenever the new episode is out, I'll get
we
to
also,
it.
I mean, I can't speak for other folks, but I played Wolf Among Us episode 1, loved it. And then the gap between 1 and 2, I decided I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
And I haven't played Walking Dead. I'm going to wait till it's all out.
Yeah.
Walking Dead.
And then be sad.
Yeah, you'll be very sad. From what I played so far, it's very depressing.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Walking Dead, fun fact, Square Enix is publishing it in Japan.
That is weird.
Wow.
They publish random Western games in Japan, like they publish Call of Duty over there. So.
The reverse used to happen. Didn't EA and Square Enix used to have a publishing agreement in the United States, I think, during like the PS1 era, maybe.
Is that true? I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if that's true. Colin, what do you think about all this? Is Shovel Knight your favorite game of the year so far?
Yeah, I think my glasses are like all... No, I'm not feeling them right now.
Okay.
I think Shovel Knight's the best game of the year, in my opinion, based on pure gameplay. I think this is an exciting year because I think game of the year at the end of everything is going to be really exciting. Like Altano was saying, there's not many AAA games, and frankly, there are just not that many coming up in the next 6 months, so this is going to be a very unusual game of the year vote when we kind of sit down and do this in December, in the sense that you're going to have games like Child of Light in there, no doubt, which is not an independent game, but an independent style game.
Sure.
You're going to have games like Shovel Knight, which is a pure indie game, I think is going to be in the mix. You're going to have Hearthstone, which is kind of a free to play game. You're going to have like a lot of different kinds of stuff in there, and so. I think it's kind of exciting. My personal top five, I tweeted about it yesterday. I sat and thought about it. In order would be, so far this year, would be Shovel Knight, South Park, Child of Light, and then Danganronpa on Vita, and then Infamous, I think would probably be my top five. But there's a lot of like weird games out there that I've been playing Pixel Junk Shooter Ultimate on PS4 and Vita. That game's really good. Just a lot of cool little smaller games that I've been having a lot of fun with.
Sure.
But Shovel Knight, man, that's the game.
Yeah, Shovel Knight's great. I'm really glad we brought back Game of the Month at IGN.
Yeah.
We brought it back to reward games, right? Like, well, let's talk about stuff that's awesome more than just when the review comes out. But we also talked about it just for IGN process so we don't lose track of games like Broken Age went in the Game of the Year hunt. Mm-hmm. And that really makes sure, like, hey, Game of the Month is coming up. Everyone needs to make sure they're playing Shovel Knight. And we did it last month with Child of Light. And a couple of years ago, games like Hotline Miami were nominated for IGN Game of the Year. And that surprised a lot of people. And now I think that I just think the process has worked. Like, we're exposing a lot more editors to a lot more indie games and make sure that they're buttoned up on what's what when Game of the Month voting comes around. And it lets stuff like that really shine through.
Is it weird that there's so many indie games on this list? I mean, there just aren't that many AAA releases coming this year.
It's the first full year of a console generation, and the entire middle shelf has fallen out over the last few years. So what's really left? I mean, this fall we're gonna get a Call of Duty that won't win Game of the Year. Sorry. Like, I mean, I can't remember the last time that's happened. Like,
but it's Kevin Spacey, though.
Yeah, right. When most people won't see him because he's tucked away in the single player. And maybe, like,
yeah, Modern Warfare was the last game I think that people talked about in a critical way.
This has a chance. But I think even if you have a chance, you're not going to win, like, with a game like that. Because it's predominantly a multiplayer shooter. We just got an awesome one of those Titanfall. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about it anymore. We're not.
It's Alfredo.
Alfredo. Like, this is Titanfall in anyone's running in this room? The game of the year right now?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, not for us, but may or may not be in the IGN hunt, but it wasn't my thing.
I think the indie game thing is a sign of the times. We've often said on this show and on other shows and in other ways, like it or not, indie games and small games are going to be taking over the industry. And yeah. These small games.
Who would not like it?
And like
a lot of the IGN readers.
Yeah, the stigma against indie games, you have to spend $60 on a game. Like, why? Like,
oh, goodness.
People, it doesn't make any sense. It literally doesn't make any sense. No. So this is a sign of the times. This is going to happen. It's going to happen more and more. And a lot of these games are going to blow up. Just like. You know, frankly, Shovel Knight's blowing up, and that's gonna be a big game for a lot of people. And you know, that's just kind of the way of the world. Like last year, you know, I often said Resogun, which was free when PS4 came out, is you know, arguably still that console's best game. That's not a bad thing. That's an okay thing. That's a good thing. And it doesn't matter how much you cost. It doesn't matter platform cost, developer. Is it fun? That's what matters.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you.
I think it would be healthy for right now. Indies still are sort of stuck in this $10 or $15 range, and I would love to see sort of I don't know what the label would be. Premium indies, like let's make $30 a viable price point. Like release on PSN and Xbox Live for $30, and you're getting something that's in between, you know, a $10 tiny experience and a $60, you know, gigantic experience.
See, the problem I don't think is price in that measure. I think it's art style dictates price to a lot of readers.
Yeah, 2D is seen as like cheap.
Right. Yeah, I remember. I mean, I was a big person fighting for the return of the Rayman franchise, Origins and Legends, and you know, talking about those games all the time and really championing them. People said to me all the time, you know, it looks really cool, but this game shouldn't be $50. It should be $5.
Yeah, there's a weird perception issue against 2D versus 3D and what the value, like what people's value is for that. They don't see $60 games as worth.
I'm sure a lot of people are scoffing at our Shovel Knight review right now and the coverage we've done. And like, you know, Colin's been the champion of it. I've been going from show to show saying I love Shovel Knight. It's great. And people look at it and they're like, yeah, but it looks like, you know, a game that your grandfather played, you know?
And my grandpa did not play these games.
I wanted to announce I'm a grandfather now.
Mm-hmm. Shovel Knight's a lot more whimsical than I expected, by the way. I finally got a chance to sort of dig into it, like with the dancing fish.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
Some of that stuff and the villagers that you talked to. That part was very unexpected to me. It was a surprise.
Yep. So I don't know. I like that we're there now, though. That we have this full circle again, where games can look like this. And you don't automatically win the race just because you have the best graphics or because you have online multiplayer or because you know there was 15 Steam teams working on your game. Like we're gonna get a new Assassin's Creed this year.
So I was gonna say, is they're not mutually exclusive. Assassin's Creed and Call of Duty and Titanfall still exist in the world where Shovel Knight exists. Yeah. They all make money and win awards. Yep. And it's awesome.
Yeah, I like that we have that you know it went into multiple paths and not just one way. So
actually, I have a Shovel Knight question here. This comes from T-Boy, who emailed us just like you can at gamescoop@ign.com. This question is for Colin. I'm just wondering what platform Colin reviewed Shovel Knight on and which one he suggests to purchase it on. I really enjoyed his review of the game, but I'm torn between getting it on Wii U or 3DS.
I think it's best on I played it on Wii U primarily and I think it's best there. You know, I think it fits there. I shouldn't say it's best there. People are going to find that they like it on other platforms, and that's great. But I think take the Wii U, download it, take your old Wii remote, like we were just saying on Nintendo Voice Chat, just turn it sideways, play it like an NES game. I think it's a great way to play the game.
Everyone always talks about it as a Wii U game. It's also on Steam, by the way. But yeah. I'm playing it on 3DS, and I think it's perfect on that platform. It's super easy to pop it open and not even get through a whole stage, but get through a couple checkpoints and then close it because, you know, my baby's crying or whatever. Like. It feels like that bite-sized handheld game to me personally.
Yeah.
If you do get it on 3DS, you can't go wrong there. There's no reason not to.
You're playing on Wii U?
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm going to buy it on 3DS so I can play it on flights and stuff like that. So
I'm also playing on 3DS. You probably just can't go wrong.
Yeah.
Whatever platform you're playing it on.
It's a little bit like I played hours and hours and hours of Hearthstone on PC, and now I play that exclusively on iPad. I feel like it makes so much sense for touch controls.
Yeah, I prefer to stick on PC with Hearthstone, but I have an older iPad. So.
Yeah. See, it won't run well on an iPad, too. That's probably my game of the year so far.
Well, I agree, but we'll get to that. We're still on Shovel Knight now. T-Boy continues. In Colin's review, he mentions that the game is influenced by some old NES classics, but I noticed that some of the game's sounds appear to be lifted directly from such games. Mm. Such as DuckTales and Mega Man. Is this the case, or am I imagining this?
Yeah, I don't think it's lifted, but I think there's some mimicry going on. There's a specific sound that really jumped out to me, that not one he mentioned, where you use one of the sub-weapons, which is like an invincibility move or whatever, and the sound is the same sound that when you pick up the golden chalice in Castlevania, the one that makes you invincible. It's the same thing. Like, there's a lot of that kind of stuff in the game. I think, you know, a lot of odes, but you know, one of the beautiful things of the game is that it's its own game. It's not mimicking things. It's taking inspiration from them.
Yeah.
So
I would be surprised if it was actually lifted directly.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're using this sort of like this NES sound chip,
sure.
It has a limited spectrum of sounds that it can make, right? So you're probably going to sound some other NES game.
It's like if I hand you like three ingredients, like there's really only so much you can cook with them.
That's a good analogy.
Well, you also, I mean, they're not making Castlevania 3 on the NES anymore. So it's like if that sort of thing doesn't exist in that purest form anymore, like, I don't know, so what?
If it's borrowing from other stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's fine. A game that came out that was, I thought was pretty anticipated, but now no one's talking about is Transistor.
Named after the 311 album.
Yep, he's actually the 311, the video game.
Yep,
yeah. I mean, I think that's another game that people did enjoy a lot, but maybe didn't stick with people in the way that, you know, I think Shovel Knight and, at least for me, Broken Age did.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I didn't finish it. It hit, like, right before we really dug in deep with all the E3 stuff, and I think I was playing a little bit of Watch Dogs at the time, too. Beautiful game, incredible music, awesome art style. I think the gameplay didn't immediately grab me like some of the other titles did. The sort of isometric battling stuff that is sort of turn-based.
That's
but
what I like about it,
It's cool. It's just I have to really dig into it. I haven't had as much time as I wanted to do that.
It is really gorgeous, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, it just other games kind of grab me. But, yeah, it's a beautiful game. It's awesome. It's, you know, something I want to return to. Maybe it'll flip my whole list. Who knows?
I enjoyed it when I played it, but I just got distracted with Watch Dogs, I think, and Mario Kart 8. So I'll have to come back to that. Maybe a lot of these games people will have to come back to, you know, and finish them.
We always talk about this at the end of the year, but there's, like, a big difference between, the game of the year and the game you had the most fun with that year and the game you played the most.
This is what I
wonder. I didn't want to open this can of worms.
No, but this is my thing about Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Hearthstone is easily my favorite game of the year.
Yeah.
Favorite game in probably several years. Easily the game I'm going to spend the most time with this year.
Right.
But can I don't know, like, will it be the best game of the year?
It's a philosophical question of, is your favorite game the game that you would most recommend to others? Yeah. And which should game of the year be?
Yeah, right. I don't think Hearthstone is Colin's type of game, right? Like, I don't...
No, I mean, so it's like, customizable card games sometimes, but no, I wouldn't mess with that game too much.
Yeah.
To me, I probably even said this last year, but there's the pizza joint down the street, and then there's, like, the French Laundry, which is like you go to have this.
That's a restaurant here.
Look it up. It's one of the best restaurants in America or the world. And it's just like you have this incredible, memorable experience that can't be replicated by anything else. But then there's your comfort food that's like it's always there and you love it. You know, for me, it was like for years I was playing Simpsons Tapped Out, like the way you guys play Hearthstone. Yeah. And it was just like I pick it up 10, 15 minutes a day, put it down. Is that my game of the year? Never. Is it my game of any year? Absolutely not. Not a million years. Would that be my game of the year? But I like that it's always there, and it deserves recognition in some way.
Yeah.
That's how I am about Disco Zoo.
All right.
Game of the year.
It's my game of the moment right now that there's moon animals to collect.
A game that no one talks about is Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Yeah. I personally didn't really like that game.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge Nintendo guy, huge 2D platforming guy. I love retro. I love what they do. I actually really, really like the Donkey Kong game that they did right before this. This one kind of turned me off. It felt like it just didn't really connect with me.
Music's really good.
Yeah.
It seems like we've talked about this before. Like, we obviously do our best to get our reviews right every single time we ever review a product, but sometimes the opinion of a game climbs. You know, time passes and you say, man, that game is better than we thought it was, like, now that we've had time to reflect. And then sometimes the opposite happens. And in the case of Donkey Kong, I think the general consensus is, hey, look, this isn't, like, a dog of a game. But maybe it's not quite as good as it seemed to be, you know, when we first sort of got our hands on it.
Well, no, actually, I totally disagree with that. I don't think this was a matter of time changing our perception.
We gave it a 9.
We gave it a 9, and the person who reviewed it thought it was a 9. And, you know, a lot of people do, and he's not here to defend himself for that.
Fair enough.
But, a lot of people really love this game, but as a fan of Nintendo platformers. It didn't do it with me. Didn't do it for me. I didn't like the boss. I thought the bosses were horrific. I thought some of the checkpoints were really bad. And I thought, like, overall, it was just a little samey, which is weird because I love Mario games and they come out every year.
But the Mario really does mix it up, at least.
I think so, yeah.
For what it's worth, by the way, I only played that game for half an hour. I thought it felt really stiff.
I agree.
Really? Yeah. That's why I didn't like it. I was just like, I don't want to play anymore.
No, you're particular about your platforming.
I am. I'm very particular, yes.
I felt the same.
And then there's Nidhogg, which we for like 5 minutes, everyone was really excited about that game.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
Game of the month for January, I think, right?
Yeah, Marty is working on a feature about local multiplayer and how it is coming back, and it's awesome. Like, that game is awesome at what it is. It's this very focused, tiny experience. Not for everybody, but... If you have a group of people in a room, it is incredible and a tremendous amount of fun.
Yeah. Which, I liked it a lot.
Yep. Yeah, it was great. And watching this video makes me want to... We should get it plugged back in and hooked up again.
Yeah, sure. I mean,
this is like Towerfall and stuff. Like
this,
Towerfall,
this game benefited... I mean, I'm sure that this game didn't do as well on smaller sites that didn't have 25 people in the office playing them at all times.
Sure.
And if you don't have a that many people in your house at any given moment, then you know this you might not play the game the same way. But we had a blast playing it here, and I think that was part of it was the kind of the culture around it and us screaming at each other playing it.
So I mean, I haven't worked at IGN as long as all three of you actually, but I've been here 3 years, and that's the game that I've seen us play the most as a group and compete against each other in the time that I've been here.
Yeah. Well, it was a short. It was a very short love affair with Nidhogg.
Brief, but it was intense.
Yeah, like Smash Brothers like has a permanent home in the corner of IGN. Yeah. Like Smash Brothers for GameCube gets turned on every few days. Nidhogg was nonstop for like a week or two straight, and then it vanished. So we'll see if it comes back when it gets ported.
What were you gonna say?
I was just saying we haven't had a game that captured the essence for a long period of time since Rock Band. I think you would have.
I mean,
that was a phenomenon.
Like a year or two, we played that game.
Like
all the time.
After work, like all the time. Yeah, we haven't had a game like that in a long time.
Like after we would go out to the bars, we'd go back to Nate's place and play Rock Band. Like, yeah. But looking at this list, if I were to say realistically, the three games on here that, like, if we were going to vote today, the three games that stand out to me are South Park, Dark Souls 2, and Mario Kart 8. That seem reasonable.
It's a fair list.
Just from this list, yeah.
Sure.
That seemed to be maybe like
diverse.
In the lead.
Yeah, I mean Mario Kart 8 was phenomenal.
Like
it, I mean they just really got aside from battle mode, they got everything right in that game. It's beautiful, it's fun, it's accessible. It's innovative without like breaking too many things, which I think some of the Mario Kart games had a problem with the past. Specifically Mario Kart Wii was just like the motion controls and jumping and stuff like that.
Oh,
the online was fundamentally flawed, and they were incapable of patching it.
Thanks, GameSpy.
Yeah. And they just nailed it this time. It's beautiful. It's way better looking than it really has any right to. Some of the little details, like we've talked about this before, but just watching it is such a joy, and playing it is so much fun. It's like one of the last times where I've gotten back to that kind of college days of four people around a TV screaming at each other, drinking beers and stuff like that. And it's great, but it is Mario Kart. It's the best Mario Kart, but it's more Mario Kart. So if we're rewarding just on like innovation or like the newest new award, then you know who knows.
Not that,
Battle mode hurts my heart. It makes me so sad.
Yeah, it's a.
I haven't even taken a look at the new version of battle mode.
It's a big oversight that it was because everything else was there. The core was there. You know, everything that you needed to do to make a good multiplayer game was
there. It's also, I agree with everything you're saying about Mario Kart, and I agree with you that it's probably going to be on the Game of the Year shortlist 6 months from now. But saying it's the best Mario Kart besides Battle Mode is like saying, oh, I met this girl, and she's wonderful, she's great, but she's got this, like, one, like, some terrible
leg.
Yeah.
Like, oh. It's not that big a deal, but she just steals things whenever she's out in public.
Klepto.
Right, and you know, there's a lot of people that are cool with that. I'm not.
It's worth
you know, I'm not. I don't want to date a klepto. Some people are like, look, stealing's okay. I haven't cared about stealing since the Super Nintendo. we're just gonna keep running this, but I do have a problem with it. I think that battle mode's a huge oversight. Like there was a chance to make that the best ever, and they totally dropped the ball and made it the worst ever. So that sucks.
Yeah.
Personal favorite: Hearthstone, Shovel Knight, of the year so far.
Personal is Hearthstone. Hearthstone and NES Remix 1 and 2.
Yeah.
1 was last year, but I consider them the same.
Yeah, they're kind of the same game. How about you?
It's a tie between South Park and Shovel Knight right now. Very, very close tie with Shovel Knight in a slight lead.
Oh, above South Park, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting. I've yet to finish South Park. I still need to do that. Before we look ahead at the year to go, have you guys kept up on your movies and your TV shows? Can you like say like what your favorite movie of the year is?
Sorry, I want to give a shout out to Elder Scrolls Online. I feel bad about it. I think it's the best MMO that's come out in years. I am convinced that that's a game 12 months from now. You'll see message board topics and, you know, Reddit threads of people saying, man, that game, like, I'm glad I finally gave it a shot. I'm having so much fun
after
with
this. After it goes free to play?
I mean, maybe. Like, whatever it takes to get people in the door. But I'm sure it's going to be some game that people said, I'm sorry I slept on this. Because that game is super good, and I would be playing it if I didn't have a child. Sorry, I wanted to remember to give it a shout-out in Game of the Year. It's never going to be an IGN's Game of the Year hunt, but it is a fantastic MMO, in my opinion.
Coming to consoles still.
Yeah.
Current-gen consoles, right?
Yep.
Movies, how do you feel about movies? What's the best movie you've seen in theaters this year?
I've seen a movie in the theater.
Have you not been to the theaters this year? I know you're not big.
No, I think I've seen three movies in theaters this year.
Mine was Grand Budapest Hotel.
That was good. I liked.
That's probably my favorite movie I saw in theaters this year too.
I think I like Moonrise Kingdom better.
Yeah,
these could very well be fake movies. So you guys,
you wouldn't know.
I liked, you know, Rabbit Hopper in the Grass. You know, like that's basically what you're.
That's the latest Miyazaki.
What's the newest anti-Ralph Nader documentary you watch on Netflix at 2 o'clock in the morning? No, I don't see a lot of movies in theaters anymore because there's
Ralph Nader. I don't think he's relevant anymore. Really.
I think, was the Lego movie this year?
Yeah.
So I saw that, I saw Godzilla, and I saw Grand Budapest Hotel. Those are the three movies I saw theaters.
You everything else. You saw X-Men, I thought.
No, I never saw X-Men.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I was asking you about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lego was okay.
Oh, man, I loved it.
I still haven't seen Lego. I need to see that. I hear good things.
I thought Wreck-It Ralph was way better.
I haven't seen that one either.
Oh, man.
No, the best movie I saw in theaters this year is The Raid 2.
Yeah.
It's so good.
That I have heard of.
One of the best action movies. Maybe the most violent movie I've ever seen.
Nice.
It's really good.
That's good. I should watch that.
Here it is. Look at that. As if on cue.
It's amazing. You just say things and they disappear.
They just showed my girlfriend and I's Halloween costume this year, by the way. Nice. It's going to be really good.
Is it on video yet?
Well, you got that locked down early.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, it's this is kind of serious business, you know, your Halloween costume. Mm-hmm. Got to get this ready. The best TV show of this year is Game of Thrones.
No, it's Fargo.
So I actually haven't seen Fargo yet.
Fargo. It was True Detective this year?
Yeah.
Did that finish up this year?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I think True Detective was front heavy. That the first half of it was more satisfying than the last half.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, I thought there were some shots in the final episode that were some of the most incredible, haunting, disturbing things I've ever seen in a television show.
Yeah.
All in all, Fargo, I think, which was a 10-episode show as opposed to the 6 that was True Detective, was just a beautifully shot, incredible characters, just well-scripted run of a TV show. And it's over now. It's done. Like, you can go, there won't be a season 2 in the traditional sense. Yeah, they'll do the thing where they might return to the town and pick up a new story with new characters and stuff like that. But this arc is complete.
And it had Key and Peele in it.
It did, yeah, which was odd.
That's on my watch list. I got to get to that.
I do not watch TV.
Well, I want to talk about Doctor Who. Start another
that's
show.
True,
Doctor Who scoop.
Do you like the Doctor Who a lot?
Did you guys watch Downton Abbey?
We did. We gave up on it when the shenanigans happened.
So I wanted to start watching that show, and there's no way you'll be able to find this, but I think it's on Amazon. When you log into Amazon now on like your PS4, the cover image of Downton Abbey is just this 900-year-old woman, and she's just like, what? And I'm like, nope, I'm not watching
it's
that.
It's probably the Dowager or whatever.
Yeah, sure. The Dowager girl.
It's just a bad
Harry Potter?
It's a bad first impression. So I'm like, maybe
that show, is extraordinary.
She's feisty.
Are you all caught up with that one?
Yeah, I'm caught up with that one. Yeah, that show is extraordinary. I would say that show that aired this year in the United States. That's technically last year because it came out.
It aired on the BBC last year.
I would say True Detective probably for me.
True Detective.
And all this weird shit I watch on like HGTV is pretty addicting too.
Yeah.
Brother versus Brother.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Well, Brother versus Brother, was that the one that they canceled? No, that's they canceled one of these shows before it even aired, right?
There was that show.
Probably.
There was a show this year.
Like some religious controversy or something.
I don't know.
It was a pretty big story.
That I don't know.
There was a show this year about a dude with like a 3,000-pound testicle.
What?
Yeah, I see some of this weird stuff.
You're flipping through the channels and just saying it's like me and my big ball.
3,000 pounds.
It was probably literally hundreds of pounds.
Then we stopped on it. I was eating food and I stopped on it out of curiosity. I'm like, oh! Get that out of here!
Is that a series? It's a series?
It's a series.
What blows my mind about that is 10 minutes of television stretched into an entire...
Right, like season four, episode six, got my ball.
How am I going to go grocery shopping?
There was a thing where a guy had a growth that looked like a huge testicle that he would like place on like a rolling chair and like or something like, or like some sort of stool and walk around with it or whatever. There's some weird stuff. You go up to like TLC and Discovery, you're going to find some weird stuff.
The Learning Channel.
I'll give a quick shout out to I'll give a quick shout out also to Bar Rescue. Which is an amazing show. An amazing show.
Is that like a show they're going to go out of business? The bar's going to go out of business?
Yeah, it's like it's
until
it's
this on Spike maniacal cokehead shows up.
Yeah. It's like Kitchen Nightmare, but with bars.
It's so good, dude. You got to find Bar Rescue. That show's like that show's becoming like iconic, okay. Like with how crazy that guy is, and it's so funny. Like he's just so brash, and he works it when at the end, you know, he fixes it, but. Yeah.
He rescues the bar.
I don't want to actually watch this show, but the show I Want to Marry Harry, or Who Wants
to Marry
Harry?
They canceled it already.
Canceled it. I just wanted to like watch the synopsis like what went down. Do you know about
this? No, I don't even know about the show.
Yeah, what?
A Prince Harry like lookalike like impersonator.
Oh my goodness!
And then they told all these women like you're going to go on this show for a chance to marry Prince Harry.
Well, they get away with it by saying they never state that. Like apparently, what they say is like it's the Prince of Wales or whatever. Like they'll never use his real name, and so like these hot chicks like think that, you know, who knows if they like really thought that or not, because he kind of looks a little off like compared to, you know, the real Prince Harry or whatever. But apparently my girlfriend was still, because we were really excited about him, like this is brilliant.
I wanted
this reminds me of Joe, you remember the show Joe Millionaire?
Yeah,
it was on like 13 years ago.
Yeah,
about like the construction worker, but they pretended he was a millionaire, and then they told, and like it reminded me of that where I'm like, this is brilliant.
Well, people,
I
think
dumbest shit.
People were stupid back then, but they were, I think, a little smarter than now. Now you don't even have to lie.
Use a Google search and you would know that this is not a real show.
Dude,
that
you live in San Francisco. We have an area in this city called Fisherman's Wharf where there is a Madame Tussauds wax museum. And about a year or two ago, they got a Barack Obama wax model delivered to this museum. And they put him on one of those like things and they just wheeled him out in the street. And he was just like... And everyone was like, oh, hello, Mr. Obama. Like, they thought that he hurt his leg and he was just leaning back and he's just like that. And everyone's waving, saying hello, trying to get pictures of him and stuff like that. People are stupid as hell.
They are. No, it's like you say, they can just Google it and find out it's not him. Whenever like we have like a live show, Greg and I were like, we're live tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, and then all the responses are, what time is that in London?
Yeah.
Like they could Google that right now and find out. Instead, they ask us over Twitter, thinking like, who knows when we'll see it? Who knows if we'll respond?
You're live right there. You're like, hold on, I have to interject with a clock question from the audience.
Anyway, that's it for TV Scoop. Colin's on a time limit here, but you got about 12 minutes.
12 minutes? Okay. Yeah, sorry. We don't have to. I can leave and you guys can continue the conversation.
No, I want you stay right there.
Okay, well, thank you.
Because for the next 12 minutes, we're going to look ahead. Our most anticipated games for the rest of 2014. Who would like to start?
I would.
Justin.
My most anticipated game of 2014, hands down, is Destiny.
Destiny.
Oh, my goodness
After
gracious.
After playing the alpha?
Yeah. That alpha, I have never...
That
I have,
sold a lot of people on that game.
Yeah, I have never done a bigger 180 on a game before. Not that I thought it was going to be, you know, hot garbage before, but, you know, if you look at my tweets around E3 2 years ago and stuff like that, like, I just never thought the game... I thought it looked kind of old, I thought it looked kind of slow, and I didn't feel like it looked that next-gen, and I'm very happy to say that I was super wrong. Actually going hands-on with it, I get it in a way that, you know, that I didn't really understand from the demos. That game is World of Warcraft mashed up with Halo, mashed up with Borderlands. All those things fit together like chocolate and peanut butter.
Anyone else play the alpha?
No.
No, I just can't with the, like get into these games where I have to play with them.
You're not interested in... Did you play Borderlands?
I play Borderlands a little bit, and I keep kicking people out of my room until I realize I could just shut that off.
Yeah.
I will give it to them on this. First of all, I watched Greg play Destiny. It looks great. And... I'll give it to them in that this was a stroke of marketing genius because no one was talking about Destiny. And I think that, like, they were already running commercials for it a long time ago. Like
the alpha?
Like, the alpha is a stroke of genius. Be like, no, really, our game's good, and we're confident we want you to play it. I think that was better than any commercial they can do, any preview anyone can write.
Sure.
Now the beta starts for PlayStation Plus, I think, soon-ish. I don't know.
Middle of July.
So, you know, you know, good for them, because I think they have something. You know, it's a studio with a great pedigree. You know, no one thought, like Justin said, that game was gonna be bad. It's just not a game that
intrigued me
at all.
They were dumping millions into awareness, and it wasn't working. And then they were just like, oh, just play it. And then we were like, oh wow, got it, cool.
Yeah.
And then the word of mouth started. So
it could also, here's the caveat, it could be that's the first video game I got to play in like 3 weeks. I finally was able to like escape and put the baby down for a nap.
Had the baby, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, video games again, so fun. No, but it's, you actually go on, it's the equivalent of dungeons. They call them strikes. And it's three people, and you go there, you know, if you're kind of bad or shitty, it'll take 30 or 40 minutes. They're meant to be, you know, closer to 20 minutes. And there's bosses, and it's three people, and you have to work together to take down these bosses and coordinate. You can't do them on your own. And it feels like a modern FPS version of like a World of Warcraft dungeon that you would go on, you know, a five-man dungeon with friends.
Now, can you play Destiny by yourself?
You won't be able to do the strikes. I mean, there's a story. So the game has a story mode, and all that stuff is single player. The way that it works, and this is the challenge that Activision and Bungie have, is this is a game that's hard to explain. But, like, you'll be in this world, and other people can be in the world. You know, they'll sort of, like, journey. They'll, like, fade in and out of your game. Like, you'll come together with people and do stuff. But then it'll be, like, there'll be a point on the map that, like, starts the next story mission. And when you, like, go through that door, then you're in an instance of the game world on your own. Like, you're in your own little version. Like, people can't mess with you or interact with you. And then when you walk out of the other end of that story mission, then you're back in the world. And it's all super seamless. That's the same way the dungeons work. Is like, the three of you are in the world with other people. Then you go in this dungeon, and it's just you and your own little version of the world. And then when it's over, you're back out in public.
So I'm seeing, like, three parts of this game.
Yeah.
Single-player missions that you go on by yourself. Strikes, yeah. You go on out with people cooperatively. But then there's also PvP arenas.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's traditional, the PvP arena, quote-unquote, is just traditional, you know, it's like Halo multiplayer. Like, the only thing that was in the alpha was, like, capture the control points, like A, B, and C, and then whoever had the most control points won. But it's going to have traditional Call of Duty, Halo-style multiplayer. It feels a lot like Halo with vehicles and stuff.
Yeah, speaking of that, we actually have a question from Buddy.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy.
He says, I'm a working dad slash husband slash gamer with very little time to play. I value your articles, podcasts, and reviews in helping me get the most bang for my gaming buck.
Thanks, buddy.
That said, I need a little more help when it comes to Destiny.
Yeah.
There was some footage. You guys discussed it. Looked like something I might have to pass on. Lately, though, it seems that everyone has major wood for this game, and I'm a little confused. The game looks a lot like Halo to me. It's a shooter made by the creators of Halo. The bad guys often come in groups, a few bullet fodder led by a more powerful character.
Yep.
It sounds like Halo. You guys have pointed out how some of the guns sound the same as Halo guns. The soundtrack almost sounds lifted from the Halo B-side.
Yep.
Anyway, I get that there are new wrinkles to the Halo formula with the MMO and RPG elements, but I wonder how different this will be from Halo. I know you don't have the full answer today, but could you focus on those deltas now and in the future coverage of Destiny? Anyway, what's your impression there?
Yeah, I mean, the moment-to-moment gunplay does feel a lot like Halo. And even in the game's lore, you know, it's like there's the humans, and then there's two factions that also kind of compete with each other, same as Halo. Like, it's obviously a Bungie game, but you can't discount that MMO part of it and that open world part of it. Like, it plops you into this world, and you can explore in any direction. And you'll find things, and you'll find missions, and you'll find secrets. And I went into a cave and found some crazy high-level dude that I couldn't kill and had to run away and would have had to come back when I leveled up. You know, you get loot drops when you kill bosses, and then that makes you, like, quite a bit more powerful than you were before if you get the right gun. It makes it feel really different. It feels like a World of Warcraft Halo love child. It's awesome.
Right. Still not sold.
Nope.
No. I don't know. Maybe I have to play it. I'm just not there yet. It's.
Yeah.
It feels like every time people try to explain this game to me, it just keeps going and going and going, but none of it is just like, there it is, you're in, got it.
So what? I mean, you'll play the beta, or you'll play it eventually, and then,
of course.
And then you can make up your own mind.
Yeah, no, completely, completely. But, you know, we were talking about this at E3 about how the difficulty companies have nowadays of, like, or pretty much anyone has nowadays, of grabbing anyone's attention for anything. It's a miracle that people are even here with us today watching this show. This is great content, so thank you. But, you know, to bounce from this, to watch another video, to play another game, there's so many options, so many things to distract you right now. When I was asking, you know, what is Titanfall? People were like, it's, you know, Call of Duty with robots. And I'm hearing Destiny is Halo plus
Borderlands
plus Warcraft plus, and like, it starts to lose me.
So there is no fourth plus. It's just those three pluses.
Okay. Well, yeah. You said peanut butter and chocolate. I was wondering what the third ingredient was.
Oh, jelly. I don't know. What would go good with those? Marshmallow, maybe?
Maybe like some, I don't know, like some sort of grain.
Like a nut?
a nut, like aside from peanut butter? You want a second nut?
Like peanut butter and peanut, maybe.
Chunky, so chunky.
Yeah, that's
peanut.
Oh, like, top of so my head. Peanuts,
peanuts. That's not really a third ingredient. That's cheating. Yeah.
Maybe Nutella. What about that?
That's chocolate.
No, it's not hazelnut.
Wait, hold on. Nutella is hazelnut and chocolate. It's okay. Cocoa. Wait, so it's
hazelnut,
the first
flavored chocolate.
It's nut and cocoa. So your third ingredient is the first two ingredients. Right. Come on, that's cheating.
Wait. Let me.
Come on, that's so cheating.
Let me walk this back.
Just
a little.
Say bread. Just it's say be
hazelnuts. Hazelnuts, chocolate, peanut butter. How about
hazelnuts,
that?
Hazelnuts, chocolate, peanut butter. That's a stretch. Cocoa, it goes into chocolate. Chocolate, cocoa goes in the hazelnut.
All right.
Anyway.
All right.
Hazelnut, chocolate, peanut butter. What
Brian, what are you anticipating?
Not
Destiny.
Far Cry, right now. Because Far Cry is ridiculous. I'm going to need it at the end of this year to play something that sort of, I don't want to say mindless, but just sort of like deranged. Like, something I can just kind of I can get lost in this world. I can do insane things. When, once I saw, like, I was like, okay, it's more Far Cry. That's cool. Then I saw the exploding elephants, and I'm like, this is going to be the ultimate palate cleanser for 2014. And I have a feeling it's going to, it'll be one of those things where we see it kind of like the first, or Far Cry 3, where it was like, it just slipped in at the end of the year, like December 10th.
Punching sharks. And it was right before we went on Christmas break.
Yeah, right at the end, and it was like, I love to, like, really, Christmas break, I'll pack my PS4 into my bag, I'll go visit my family across the country for the weekend, and when I get sick of that, inevitably, after about 45 minutes, I'll blow up elephants.
It feels like a Christmas break game, and maybe that's just because that's when Far Cry 3 came out. Like, if that's going to be this franchise's thing, but I totally agree.
Yeah, I really like the, I think the setting is awesome. I've never played a game that takes place in the Himalayas.
Except for Uncharted 2.
Or DuckTales. So,
like, what we're seeing here, they're, you know, we're taking over this outpost. Yeah. This is exactly what I love to do in video games today. It's what I love about Watch Dogs.
Yeah.
Going out to gang hideouts. Like, this is exactly, you know, infiltrate.
Yep.
Take everybody out, you know, figure out your own path.
And I love that because you die a bunch of times, you go back in, you try different ways. I'm doing that with Watch Dogs. Look at this! How can this not be at the top of your list?
Please, DLC where you play as the elephant.
You can ride the elephant.
Well, I want to be the elephant.
Like that GTA mod where you can play as an elephant.
Eyes.
Oh, man, come on!
Yeah.
It's poor elephant. What even happens to his head?
No, he's in trouble. Yeah, that elephant.
The elephant probably didn't make it.
Or he's liberated the shit out of that
elephant.
Fortress.
Not liberated.
Yeah.
No.
Unless he was in sort of some life jail.
Colin, I know you liked Far Cry 3.
Oh, Far Cry 3 is a special game. Yeah, I'm excited about Far Cry 4. I would say that was probably my most anticipated AAA game. I'm going to hit it with a few games. Mike Aransky, no doubt, has the footage for all of them. You ready?
Yep.
The first one I'm excited for is Danganronpa 2.
Is that coming this year?
On PS Vita, yeah.
Do we have Danganronpa?
You hit me with the footage.
Nope.
Two Danganronpa games in 1 year?
Yeah, so they were released, as far as I understand, in Japan at the same time, like, together, and so they split them up to release them here. The first one did extremely well. I think it's surprised that I asked by how well it did, and so they have this new one. And a new one was just announced in Japan, so hopefully that will come over here as well. Another one I just saw, I just played it, Natural Doctrine. Which is a PS3, PS4, another NIS game, PS3, PS4, Vita. It's a hardcore, ridiculously hardcore strategy RPG. Like, really, really, like, the idea of it is it's supposed to break you, basically. Like, it's not supposed to be easy, it's not supposed to be, like...
It's supposed to break you.
Yeah, like, they were saying, like, awesome. Like, on every map, you're gonna die. Like, if any of your characters die, it's over. So, like,
really?
Fire
Emblemish.
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know...
You said blemish.
Fire Emblemish.
Another one is Velocity 2X, which is a sequel to Velocity Ultra on Vita. This is a Vita and PS4 game. This game is extraordinarily fun. I played it at E3. We gave it an award. Aransky, hit me with the footage. Nope.
Pick some weird games, man. Yeah.
And finally, Freedom Wars, which I think is probably the last AAA first-party Vita game we're ever going to see. It's a... Played that behind closed doors at E3. Really, really excited about it.
What type of game?
It's kind of like Soul Sacrifice, so kind of like a Monster Hunter-ish kind of game. But you have swords and guns. It's vertical. You use you shoot things to go to different platforms and everything. It's very action oriented. And I love the idea of the game. It's about how the Earth is overpopulated. So the most minor of grievances and crimes give you massive prison sentences. So they can just put you away and get rid of you. So you have you start the game with a million year prison sentence. For some minor crime, and you do tasks for the government to cut your time down, and the goal of the game is to get down to 0 years. It's a fresh idea. It seemed really cool. Played it with the devs, actually, the Japanese guys that worked on it, Studio Japan, collaborated with some studios over there. So Really excited about that game. But I would say Far Cry is probably the one, you know, out of all of them, I'm probably most excited about. I feel like I'm going to lose a lot of time in that game. But those will be nice little, those all kind of come out, you know, 1 month and then the next month and then the next month. Yeah. So those will keep me busy.
Yeah. Far Cry might be my most anticipated game, too. I'm also excited for Assassin's Creed Unity. Mm-hmm. That one looks really fun. I loved Black Flag. Like, as long as they don't mess it up somehow like they did with AC3, I'll totally play this one.
So he's got footage of that.
Yep.
He doesn't have footage of Danganronpa 2, but he has footage of Assassin's Creed.
I want to solve the murder mysteries.
Yeah.
You walk by and like, oh, someone was killed in here. I need to figure out.
It does look fantastic. Every Assassin's Creed looks fantastic.
Yeah. Yep. Really good. The improvements they made, it's not like super flashy, like bullet points that you put on the back of the box, but they finally, it seems like they sort of fixed the parkour and fixed the stealth, you know, ways, sort of fundamental improvements to the franchise that I love Far Cry or AC4 too, but the franchise definitely needed someone to sort of hit the reset button on it a little bit.
And I've also been surprised with how cool Shadow of Mordor looks.
Yeah.
It's like, the old Lord of the Rings games were like mindless hack and slash games, right? And there's like several levels of depth to this game. That
That's the game that, did you play it at E3?
I was on the live show.
It was on live show, because I didn't attend E3, and everyone came home and was talking about that game. And I'm like, man, how good must it have shown at E3 to, you know, not that people are down on it before, but that's another one like Destiny that you flipped a switch and everyone seems to be super jazzed about it now.
Yeah, that one looks really cool. That's coming out in October when all the games are. October's pretty densely packed.
October is insane.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nuts. That's why I'm actually glad that Destiny, I felt like Destiny, the July beta was early, but it's totally not. Like, that game comes out in September. Like, it's the earliest. It sort of kicks things off.
That game's only a couple of months away now.
Yeah, it'll probably be, by the time the beta rolls out, that game will probably be gold. Yeah. At that point, then they'll just patch it, so.
All right, that's just a few games that we're looking forward to in 2014. I think that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Next week is a bye week. No game scoop. It's a holiday week, and I'm actually going to be on vacation. So I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. But thank you, Justin. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you.
Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@ign.com. My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk turned traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.